Jokes, I love it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Man, Andre, that A look too much like that.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show. We are ready to
do it.
Wait, we're just here.
It's showtime.
It's all good. Moves in the house. Yes, sir. It is time. What time is it? Let's get ready to rumble. We are officially, man, it is February, right? It is February 22. And I'm just, again, excited to spend another amazing night talking to my fellows, the crew, talking sports with the 12th man. I guess, JQ, you're going to be pulling up. We were expecting to see you and just, you know, Cincinnati Bengal gear from head to toe. I'm sure that's going to happen pretty soon here. So I don't know what we're talking about with you or kind of like, you know, whatever, man. But, you know, apparently we're going to talk plenty about what's happening, man, because, again, what an amazing game. And then we'll talk about how Tom Brady had to ruin that, man. But hold on there. We'll dive into a lot of things, man. But how you doing this evening, man?
Just fuck ass. I said it.
Well, you see it's going well.
If you want to retire, talk to your wife. Come up with a solution of what you all do. But don't do that when, you know, the Rams and the Bengals are sitting here celebrating. Come on, man. Let us have our moment. And who they?
Oh,
yes, sir.
Gary was the only one
with me last week picking the Bengals to beat the Chiefs. So as much as he talks junk about the jerseys, I still love that dude because he was with me. Let's go.
That's right.
No one was hating.
I don't think
no
JQ
was
stopped on Sunday.
I picked both of those games. Well, that's enough about Brady. Good career. Okay, what's the next topic?
We got to check in with the fellas. We got to check in with Rob Ford. We got to check in. That's going to be a short topic, though. What's up, Rob?
Doing great. Ready to roll.
Just for the record, JQ, man, you know, I never hated on the Bengals by any means. You know, we were just, you know, again,
I didn't say you hated on them. I'm saying there was only two people
I picked up a
on this
times,
show
too.
That picked the Bengals. And I'm one, hey. And here is the other.
And I even had to argue with Curtis about it. But don't worry, I called up after the game, and I asked Curtis if he wanted to apologize. You hung up on me.
I wanted to hang up on the quarterback. They scored 21 points in the first quarter, and they couldn't score again. I can't make sense of that. I can't make sense of Kansas City going cold. In scoring, like they started off on fire, and what happened? It couldn't have been all adjustments.
Cincinnati made a huge adjustment, and Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City never adjusted to it. And it was a simple adjustment, and they couldn't figure it out. I mean, they started putting Von Bell in the box, and they were dropping Hubbard in back in the coverage. And they took away those middle routes. They were still only playing one safety back. And you would think the Chiefs would have been able to take advantage of that, but it was that subtle adjustment that just threw the Chiefs off the whole game, at least the whole second half that was. So it was a very good coaching job by Cincinnati making that adjustment, just throwing Kansas City off a little bit. And Mahomes never figured it out in the entire second half, you know. I don't know if the coaches figured it out either, but obviously we saw that Mahomes didn't figure it out. You know, he obviously didn't find where the openings were. And part of that could be the coaching staff, too, because there could have been another opportunity for him to run the ball more, too. Cincinnati just started rushing with three men down. And
You know what? Let me cut in there, Rob. You know, when I watched that, and I watched him rush with, three rushers in there and drop in layers, those eight back. And what I liked about it is those three linemen, they never gave up. They kept pushing and running around and frustrating him, and it made him move just enough where he could not get anything going, and I loved it. And I mentioned that last week, that that's where Buffalo made the mistake against them rushing four and, you know, playing that defense that they played to lose the game against them. And I'm so glad they were able to rush with three people, get enough pressure on Mahomes where he couldn't work his magic, and then they got him on his ground. They knocked the ball away from him. They did lots of great things in that game.
Good job,
coaching.
Mahomes is trying to do a hero ball by holding the ball too long. He needs to learn how to throw the ball away at times. You can't win every play. You just can't. And I don't think he's got that in his brain yet.
Well, and this is what we saw in Andy Reid when he was with the Eagles, in these big games or whatever, getting out-coached. And he got out-coached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to run the ball, man. You got to get the adjustments, too. So.
I told you, Andy Reid at home in the championship game, he's suspect. I told you last week. Suspect.
Yeah, Mahomes, I mean, like you said, 8 out of 18 in the second half, only like 55 yards. Two interceptions.
Two picks.
Yeah, a horrible second half from Mahomes after going 18 out of 22 in the first half with those touchdowns. Looked like he was on pace for having an incredible day. And you kind of saw this a little bit in the first matchup with Cincinnati and Kansas City. Kansas City got off to a hot start. The Bengals slowed them down and came back and won the game by a field goal. And that one in Cincinnati. So, obviously, you got to give Cincinnati a lot of credit. Particularly defense, and you got to give, obviously, Joe Burrow a lot of credit for his poise and keeping that team together and keeping them in the game, too. So you just got to tip your hat to the entire organization. The Chiefs were on the doorstep of going to three straight Super Bowls after, winning two straight AFC championship games. They were on the doorstep of number three, and Cincinnati didn't fold. You got to give them a lot of credit. And mostly a young football team.
Yep.
Talk about some Bayou Bengals, baby. Let's go. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The show started.
Cincinnati Bayou Bengals. I got my LSU gear on.
Bayou Bengals.
Y'all fired up, man. I love it. Hey, really quickly, we're going to throw the numbers out real quick with the show and all that fun stuff. Because we literally just got into it, man. We got to talk about some things. Some explosive stuff, Black History Month, Juan Flores, soon the NFL, just a lot of things happening, too. But really quickly,
let's
the numbers out. Yeah, the number to always call on the show, the same number, the 424-243-9519. Call your boys on that. Follow us on Twitter. That Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you want to follow us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/talkingsports from 12th Man, or put in 12th Man Sports. You'll find us as well. We post our topics. We also post another mock draft. Thanks, Rob, for posting that right before the show, as we always do. We're going to get the mock draft, and we're going to discuss a lot of things as well, too. I want to talk really quickly, JQ. We're going to start with you. I know you're kind of making your way in. And I guess the question is Joe Burrow a legend right now after leading the Bengals to a Super Bowl? I mean, what would you say about that, just right off the gate?
You know what? I mean, he's like 85% the legendary status. And I know it's hard, and you don't be caught as a prisoner of the moment. But if you think about it, the Bengals hadn't won a playoff game in 31 years. All the broadcast was when we played the Raiders. you beat the Raiders, you get that one gone. Well, the Bengals had never won a road playoff game. So they went to Tennessee, beat Tennessee, get that road playoff game. And at that point, as a Bengals fan, I was like, you know, okay, I feel like I'm playing with house money, but now we get two more wins to get a Super Bowl. What's going to happen? We got to go to Kansas City. I understand that. But then you go to Kansas City and overcome a 21-3 deficit against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know, at Arrowhead. He's unstoppable, right? And that doesn't mean that they're going to win it. I mean, you know, I'm pulling for him to win it. But it never seems like it's too big for him, right? So to go do that and to beat Patrick Mahomes twice in the same season, and the second one, to send them to the Super Bowl, yeah, he's working on legend status. And you talk about the other young quarterbacks. We talked about it. The AFC is loaded. You talk about Burrow. You talk about Herbert. You talk about Josh Allen. You talk about Mahomes. Yep. You talk about Lamar Jackson, who's already been an MVP in this league. And right now, those five we all talked about, and now he's the one representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. So, like, it's on him to bring it home, right, in order to submit his status. If he could submit his status as being the first one to get that Super Bowl victory, he's a legend. So he's not a legend quite yet. He's laying all the foundation. I'll give him the credit. He's laying all the foundation to be a legend. And this run is very, you know, it's very spectacular and unexpected. But if he does it, he caps it off with a Super Bowl amongst all those five we just talked about. He gets the first Super Bowl victory, not outside of Mahomes. Mahomes has one. But the other four, that's huge. You talk about a very dysfunctional Cincinnati Bengals organization where Mike Brown, they've been trying to run Mike Brown out of town for years. And before this year, we talked about it. We were talking about running Zach Taylor out of town as the head coach of Cincinnati. So now he's not only redeeming himself, he's redeeming the head coach and the owner. Like, that's huge to put on a 25-year-old shoulder, and it doesn't seem too big for him. Now, they got their hands full. Don't get me wrong. Do I want a Super Bowl victory? Absolutely. Do I know it's going to be really hard to get with that Rams defensive line? Absolutely. But if he's able to bring that thing home and be one of those, you know, outside of Mahomes of that group I just talked about to bring home a Super Bowl victory, legend.
Yeah, I totally agree. You got to have the championship first before you can get the legendary status. He's definitely knocking on the doorstep here. And, you know, he won a national championship in college, and if he gets one in the Super Bowl, too. But you got to get that championship before you can get the legendary status. But for the way he's uplifted that franchise has been incredible. I mean, Cincinnati had the number 5 pick in the draft last year, finished last place in the division, and now to turn them around and get to not only win the division, but also take them to the Super Bowl, winning 3 games, 2 of those 3 on the road. But once again, you got to win the Super Bowl in order to get the legendary status. But definitely knocking on that door.
Agreed.
Well, the only thing I would say about
Ooh,
that is right now.
Coming through that door anymore.
Right now in Cincinnati, he already is. He already is in Cincinnati right now. You know. Because if you look at their other legendary players that they brought in, you know, the Icky Woods and, you know, these guys from the organization. Hey, you know what? He's already there. Now, if he can go out and he can beat this Rams team, you know, he'll be there. I don't think one Super Bowl is legendary status, though. I really don't.
I mean,
I think if you win – Yeah, I think if you can take your team and win 2 Super Bowls, at least, I think you can get to that legendary status. But you want to talk about some phenomenal quarterbacks.
If Cincinnati won, he's a legend.
What's that?
If he gets 1 in Cincinnati, he's a legend.
If he were 1 in Cincinnati, he's a legend.
Whoa. Cincinnati is great on the curve.
He's a legend right now.
Yeah, but you're dealing on the Cowboys spectrum. How many Super Bowls do the Cowboys have?
Zero since 1995.
Shut up. I mean, I'm just saying, though, the Bengals don't have any. So if he comes in his second year after being the first-round pick with one of the worst owners ever in the NFL and take them to a Super Bowl status, he's legendary in that standpoint. I agree that maybe not full-on across all the NFL, I think you're right. He's a legend in Cincinnati, but to win the Super Bowl, and Cincinnati doesn't have any. Like, we have the same, we got that same Indy glass case that Minnesota got and Buffalo got. Like, to get them one, to take them off the snide in his second year, to me, that makes him legendary. You know what it makes him? If he doesn't win another one, it makes him Joe Namath.
Yeah, but I heard that today. On sports, I was watching on TV. If this guy wins, it's Joe Namath.
Yep.
And Joe Namath is one of the most legendary quarterbacks in football. And he only won one.
Yep.
But he guaranteed a win. And the legend, and they did it first time the AFC beat the NFC was Joe Namath, and they're comparing him a little to that second year.
Is that the moxie? Is that the moxie for sure?
Yeah, the first year, yeah, not finishing the season on the first year. So this is nobody at the beginning of the year got Cincinnati at any shot at the Super Bowl.
Especially you.
Yeah.
Whoa. Easy there, boy. Easy, KK.
Boy, we are firing shots, man. Everyone is hyped right now.
You know, there's only
losing at high.
There's only two players that have won the Super Bowl and an national championship, and both of them were named Joe. Joe Namath and Joe Montana. Looking good for Joe Burrow, making the third Joe.
That did what? Win the national championship?
And
what'd you say
then?
Oh, yeah.
There's only two players who won the Super Bowl and a national championship in college. Both of them named were Joe. Joe Namath and Joe Montana.
Talk about
Joe
it.
Joe Burrow the next
Talk
about it.
You know, I do have to say that right now, in kind of an early prediction, I do think that the pressure is pretty much on the Rams, man, because they pretty much went all in, right? They traded all draft picks, blah, blah. I mean, they're like, man, we got to win this, man. So the pressure, I think, is on the Rams, you know, because right now, as Jake, you said, the Bengals play with house money. They're like, man, everything is just – they just keep doing it, you know. So, again, you know, right now, you got to like what's happening with the Bengals. And like you said, JQ, I definitely think ever since, you know, Joe Burrow had transferred to – you know, to LSU, he's been able to take that mantle, and everything kind of happened perfectly for him, right? He had some, you know, from where he transferred, he's like, I got to, you know, get in this offense, did his thing, came to Cincinnati, got hurt, came back with a vengeance, and it's just a great story, too, you know. So I know it's kind of an unlikely Super Bowl. I know you were definitely happy whenever the Niners lost, JQ, in your gut, if you will, but this is going to be an interesting game, you know, for sure. Obviously, the way that the Rams are playing,
that's
you guys
should
win the Super Cup.
You know what?
That's not true.
The petty part of me wanted to play San Francisco just to get the monkey fully off our back. And I know that's playing with fire, but a piece of me really wanted to play San Francisco just to beat them and get it to take the monkey fully off our back. So, yes, it's playing with fire because you don't want to go 0-3 in the Super Bowl against San Francisco. But a really big piece of me wanted to play San Francisco just to exercise all the demons in one year.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. And I guess we'll talk about that, too, because, you know, we got to get into that because, you know, I know we'll talk about, you know, what's happening in our predictions and, you know, really, you know, JQ, Gary, all you guys, West Coast, too, and kind of taking a step back. Speaking of the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, you know, we'll talk about we'll see the blame for their loss, and there's some situations, too, and then, damn, near the end, I mean, it was an interesting game plan, too, because it's hard to beat a team three times, right? We talk about that. It's hard to beat a team three times in the regular season. I mean, last time the Titans did that to the Jacksonville Jaguars, something crazy like that. But it's hard to beat a team three times, you know. But we'll talk about some matchups and you guys, what's your thoughts. And I do want to, if you will, I know we got a lot of topics to discuss, the mock draft and everything like that. But I do want to talk briefly about the bombshell dropped by Brian Flores, too, because that's kind of like good news as well, man, because I'm reading a certain statement and how he talked about certain things that happened and how he's asking to get tanked and getting paid for it. It's just a lot of stuff, you know. So, you know, again, not that we have to spend too much time with that, but I just think that's a pretty interesting topic as well. So, Gary Kurz, talk about the first part, your early prediction on the matchup here. You got the Rams and Bengals. And we'll talk about that. And we'll let Rob kind of talk. And then, you know, JQ kind of finishes strong, if you will, too. So go ahead, Gary, Curtis.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, my first thought is, and I've talked about this ever since I've been on the radio, why are there four teams that can't seem to get their employees in the Super Bowl? Detroit is one of them.
Yeah.
And Cleveland, Texans,
yeah.
And Jacksonville. Now, Stafford, if he wins a Super Bowl, I want to condemn the football mind in Detroit. What couldn't you guys do? How smart are you guys? Why are you guys football guys and cannot figure out how to get the Detroit Lions in a Super Bowl and you had a quarterback that's capable of doing that? Because it's the same thing. But, and the Texans and Jacksonville, they're trying to come lately. So I don't condemn them as much as I do Detroit and Cleveland. So that's one of my first thoughts. The other thought is Aaron Donald. I like when he took the whole defense on the sideline and said, look, I will kick you guys' ass if we lose this game. You guys, we got to win this game. That's leadership. That's a real football player. And that's the guy that meant business. I was proud of him. And I like seeing that in athletics, especially pro athletics. Your monster, your leader, standing up in front of the team and saying, look, we're going to do this or I'm going to kill all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him do that, and I really liked it.
Well, I think both teams have good leadership all the way around. I think this is going to be a good matchup. You know, when I had a hard September, you know, losing my father, and the two pictures I had of my dad, Rob Somm, at his funeral, I have above my 70-inch flat-screen TV in my living room. And when the Rams and I've been pulling for the Rams, as you guys know, all year long for the first time in my life. And so I'm really grateful that they're in the Super Bowl. This Super Bowl, I think, is going to be really hard to pick because I think you got two teams. I was waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo to do Jimmy Garoppolo thing. And he did. Okay. And they could have had probably four picks in that game if they could have held on to him. But Joe Burrows is not Jimmy Garoppolo. Joe Burrows, a high IQ, young, talented quarterback that wants to win a Super Bowl and make his own way and lead his team to this. And I think it's going to be a phenomenal matchup. I think the quarterback is going to be washed. I think they got good offense and defensive lines. They've got good coaching staffs. I think, for me, it's really a pick-em game. I don't see one team over the other one that has an advantage, a real advantage either way. So this one, for me, is a pick-em game. I'm hoping that the Rams win, and it would have nothing to do with, you know, with Cincinnati and the respect that I have for what that program did. And the only reason I'm picking the Rams this particular year is, you know, because of my dad, and he was such a diehard Rams fan for so long. But if they lost to a great team like Cincinnati has been this year, that is, you know, has just picked themselves up, won close games, come back games, played solid, played together, there's no shame in that either. So for me, it's just a pick-em game. And I wish your team,
the Bengals.
I wish you all the best in that. No, I'm going for the Rams.
Okay.
I am going for the Rams in the Super Bowl. And I said, the only reason I'm going for the Rams is because of my father, and I think he would be really happy with it. But I think that the Bengals are a phenomenal team, and wear that orange proud. You should be very proud of your team no matter what they do in this game, because they had a phenomenal season. Yes, absolutely.
I want to say something. Yes, it will be the last football game I went to. I went to opening night of the Rams game. They were playing the Indianapolis Colts. And in the seats, they gave me a jersey and some other tickets because it was opening night. I was lucky enough to hand that Rams jersey that I got from that opening night with the Rams to Gary's father, and I was very proud of that.
Oh.
And I don't know if he ever wore it, but I gave it to him, and I'm so happy I did.
He always hung it over his chair when the Rams were playing. Hung it
nice.
On the side of his chair. Yeah.
Nice. Good, Rob.
Yeah, when you look at this game, when you look at the, you know, the matchup here, I mostly agree with Gary here. I think it's going to be a really close game. Just like, these two games this past weekend were both decided by a field goal. Then we look at the divisional round. All four games went down basically the last play of the game. I think you're going to see some of the same here in the Super Bowl. I think it's an evenly matched team. Both teams got some weapons. I think the key to the game is going to be Cincinnati's offensive line against the Rams' defensive line. And
there it is.
If the Bengals can protect Joe Burrow, they got a real good chance of winning this football game. I think they're going to have to really incorporate the running game. They're going to have to incorporate some rollouts and some bootlegs for Burrow. They're going to have to get him out of the pocket a little bit to protect him and get some quick releases out of him. I think that's going to be really key for the Bengals in his game plan. But that, to me, is the intriguing matchup. The good thing is Burrow can move. When you saw that Rams game against the Buccaneers, I mean, Brady's a statue right there, right? So they can get Burrow out of the pocket a little bit and have him do some unique things. They can't let him take 9 hits like the way he did against the Titans, right? 9 sacks.
Right.
To me, that's going to be the key matchup in this game. I expect it to be a really good football game. But if they can protect Burrow, then the Bengals have got a real strong chance of winning this game. And if they have the right plan for him, too. And like I said, you got to get him rolling out of the pocket, bootlegs. You got to run Mixon to protect Burrow.
Yeah. You muted, JQ.
Well, let's say.
Sorry, can you hear me? My bad. That's tough to hear because I love those two dudes, and I hate to root against them with that story right there. Because that first season, that first game, after Gary lost his dad, I believe I picked the Rams solely on the fact that and the Rams won that game, right?
Right.
So, honestly, I take, you know, it's hard for me in this one. But, of course, I'm you know, once, you know, I thought we were playing with house money. Once you get the first one off the snap for the Bengals, you're like, okay, we can stop talking about 31 years, right? And it's like, okay, then you win the first road game ever in playoff history against Tennessee. And you're like, well, now we knocked that one off, but now we're two games away. So now we got a real chance at this thing, right? And then you go play Kansas City, and it's like, we beat this team once. There has to be a piece in the back of their mind that says, we beat this team once, even if it was at home and now we're on the road. Well, we beat them once. And once you have that confidence that, you know, you came back in the first game, you get in the same situation in the second game, that end of the first half play calling by Kansas City was atrocious. Like, you got to take 3 points. I was sitting there like, you know, I was worried about going down by another seven.
Yeah, why
once
take
they
the
got
3 points? Why take the 3 points?
But once he threw the incomplete pass, it was 5 seconds left. I was like, well, they're going to take a field goal. And then they went for it, and I was like, oh, well, that's just disrespectful. Like, they're just not going to take a field goal right there? You have no timeouts?
Uh-huh.
And then they don't get it, and you feel the momentum starts to switch in that game, and then they stop Kansas City again coming out of the second half of that first drive, and you're like, okay, they can't see that. Cincinnati defense has made the adjustments they need to do, just like they did in the first game. They give up all those points in the first half in the first game. They give up 3 points in the second half in the first game. They give up 3 points in the second half of this rematch. So you guys give DC for Cincinnati a lot of credit for making adjustments that sometimes people don't make against Kansas City. And I looked at that, and I was watching that Rams and that 49ers game, and I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you, Rob. I think the thing that everybody falls into is because it's easy, not easy, but what you see on film, it's easy to talk about the Cincinnati offensive line going against Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. They put Ramsey on one side because he's going to travel in the next 2 weeks with Jamar Chase, or is he going to stay on one side so Cincinnati can scheme so another guy to keep Jamar Chase away from him? And do they make the Rams adjust? Do they put him in the spot? And then do you take some of Jalen Ramsey's, you know, effectiveness that he is on the outside away, but make him have a two-way go by guarding Jamar in the slot if they decide to make him cover him? So all those, you know, other pieces outside the offense versus the defensive line, is to me, is very intriguing. But I also looked at it when they played San Francisco and they went to overtime and lost to San Francisco, the physical nature of Deebo Samuel, of Kittle, of Ayuk, of Juwan Jennings, you know, and then when they played the Chargers, they had to play Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Those big physical receivers Cincinnati seems to struggle against. I look at the Rams, and they don't have really big, strong, physical wide receivers. They have great wide receivers, don't get me wrong. Cup of speed. And you see what he did this year. OBJ went over 100 yards this past week. He's got, what, 6 touchdowns in his games with the Rams. But they're smaller guys. They're shiftier. But I feel like the Bengals so far this year have matched up better against the smaller, shiftier wide receivers against the big dudes that can go win in the phone booth, right? You throw it against them, you know, one-on-one on the outside where they just go get the ball. The Bengals have a problem with those kind of wide receivers. So when I see that, it does come down to can they give Joe Burrow that much time and that kind of game plan that Rob talked about to give them a chance. But it's just something about this thing they have happening right now. Like, even when they get down, you get a little worried, and they make a play. And I was sitting with my homeboys watching. I said, they needed a turnover. The second play after they said that, B.J. Hill picked off Patrick Mahomes, Jamar Chase, two-point conversion, tie ball game. Like, it's just something about them. Like, they believe in themselves. They never get too high. They never get too low. I think it's going to be a really good game. And that's just what the Bengals have been playing. If you've been watching them for the most part this year, they really don't get blown out. They play really close games. And, you know, at this point, of course I'm going with my Bengals. Matthew Stafford, if I was an objective observer, worries me. This Detroit Matthew startup, but he played really good against Tampa. He played pretty good against San Francisco. But at home was not a real kind of like home field advantage because it's going to be a whole lot of corporate sponsors, and the Rams have a lot of transplants out there. They struggled to keep the 49ers out of that stadium. They give them credit for winning that game, but there was a lot of 49er fans there. I don't know how the Bengals are going to travel. I agree with you guys. I think it's a pretty close game. I think it's 24-21 Cincinnati. I think McPherson does it again with another field goal to win to walk it off.
Go ahead, Curtis. You're about to say something.
Yeah, we've been doing that this whole weekend. I mean, and it's sad. I'm a little sad that this means the end of the football season. I enjoyed, football tremendously, but we're looking at the end. I gotta disagree with Gary a little bit. The Rams are all in with all the draft picks they gave away, with all the superstars they brought in. They brought in people that they felt like was going to make them win a Super Bowl. The Rams are all in. The management is all in. Now, Cincinnati, I think they don't have nothing to lose. I think they are young. They are hungry. And they're just like, let's have fun. Let's do what we do. And let's see what happens. Whereas the Rams, they put a lot of capital in getting here. So they have a lot. I think the Rams got a lot to lose if they don't win this. And it's at home. It's in L.A. with hip hop. I have halftime. Totally L.A. thing. They're all in L.A. Where Cincinnati.
You know what? I agree with you. I think that was the case maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago. But I think, and I don't know what they're doing, but a piece of me feels like if you're a Cincinnati fan or in that organization, it's like, man, this might be our best shot because that AFC is fully loaded. And when you go through getting the Raiders and the Titans with Derrick Henry coming back and a busted Ryan Tannehill, like, and you getting the Chiefs and the Bills play each other in the other semi, so you don't have to play both of them. Like, I think moving forward, it's going to be hard for the Bengals because you're going to probably have to go through both of those teams, right? You're going to have to probably play the Bills and the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. They got lucky this year to where they only had to play one. I think most times moving forward, you're going to probably have to play both. So I wonder if a piece of them started like, oh, yeah, it's great. And they look up and say, if we don't get it this year, when do we get it?
Right. The call?
Yeah, you got to take advantage of your opportunity when you have a chance. I mean, we look at Dan Marino. He went to Super Bowl his second year in the league, never made it back. You know, I think that were football fans back then, we thought at some point he would get back to the Super Bowl and have that opportunity. But he never made it back. I mean, when you have that opportunity, you got to cash in on it. You got to take advantage of it. You never know when you're going to, you never know when you're going to get back, you know.
That's true.
So, if you're Joe Burrow and you're the Bengals, Andre touched on this in the beginning of the show, all the pressure is on the Rams on this one. They were the team that went out and, and got these high-priced guys to come in. They're playing in their home stadium. All the pressure's on them. The Bengals can go in there to be loose and play football. And, and Joe Burrow's got to cash in on his opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Agreed.
Well,
and maybe that's just a fan speak.
Pressure's individual. Pressure just isn't, it's individual. We're a team here. Maybe I don't feel the pressure. Maybe I'm going in loose and comfortable, but maybe Roberto from Mexico is a little tight and a little nervous about things. And I disagree a little bit about, you know, playing a lot of
teams. I thought
I was
from Puerto Rico,
sports.
Man. Come on.
I played a lot of team sports, and I felt like there were just as many people. I don't think there's any more pressure on the Rams or on Cincinnati. I really don't believe that. I disagree with Curtis, and I want to remind Curtis, how did his prediction go last week?
Well,
not so well for you.
Let me down. I thought the Chiefs were going to be a multiple Super Bowl winner, but I still do. I think I heard him today blame everything that happened on him. Patrick Mahomes took the blame for that loss on him. He needs to learn from that. He said that today, and he's going to be a better quarterback.
I think he will. I agree.
I'm still betting on that guy. I think he is special, and I think the money's right. They're going to be in multiple Super Bowls. What I do know, and this is what Gary, you know, he works, and he doesn't get to watch as much TV as I do. The Super Bowl's a different animal because of all the distractions. You got 1,000 media want a piece of you. You got all these different commitments that's what the guy from Seattle didn't do. I'm only here because I'm required by the NFL. The NFL requires you to have access to everybody in the world almost. And they said that's the biggest distraction in taking away your focus and all the crap that happened in Super Bowl week in the city, especially Hollywood, and all this access that the NFL lets reporters and people they like to bother these athletes and throw their concentration on. So it's the Super Bowl. And I've been to three of them, and I know the fans are not like regular fans. It's all rich people. So it's not like if you went to Kansas City and everybody's in bread.
Curtis just told us he rich.
And everybody is in it. But the Super Bowl is not like that. Although
he's right, though.
It's going to be heavy California, that Super Bowl. That's what I expect. But that concentration and all the stuff that guys go through the weeks leading up to that, which team handles that the best? Because that's going to be a big mess.
Last year was the first Super Bowl, obviously, with COVID, right? And so the Chiefs flew to Tampa, like I believe a day or two before the game. They didn't stay in Tampa the entire week like they did for previous Super Bowls. Not sure what the game plan is this week, but actually I think, you know, going in, they may be going back to normal this year where the teams are there the whole entire week. But I think for the Cincinnati Bengals, for a young football team, I would definitely prefer that they go in maybe Thursday or Friday and maybe not be there the entire week just to get away from all the distractions. L.A. is right there in Hollywood. So they're going to have, as Curtis mentioned, media distractions, Hollywood distractions, all of that, entertainers and things of that nature. I think with your Bengals, you get a chance to lay low in Cincinnati, fly out there on Thursday and Friday. Like I said, I'm not sure the NFL is going to let them do that or if they're going back to the way it was before COVID where you had to be there the whole week. But, you know, I think if they are able to do that, I think that could work in the Cincinnati Bengals' favor.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, but I think Joe Burrow's a good enough leader, though. Like, they've had a plan, and they just believe, bro. And I believe they follow his lead. He's like, you know, we can party after this is over, but let's you know, keep the main thing the main thing. So you're right, though, because, you know, you go from Cincinnati to L.A., that's a big old difference. So we'll see what that plan is.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. Like you said, you know, I think we touched on it, you know, we talked about Cincinnati striking while the fire is hot. That's a young squad. They haven't really hit Joe Burrow's second contract, if you will. So everything's on a rookie deal. Everything is working out for them. So they have time to build if they need to. So, but like you said, strike while the while that iron is hot, man, before you lose the team for all these rookie deals, have to renegotiate. If Joe Burrow wins Super Bowl, be prepared to see him.
And they still got
cap space. Everything like that, too. Yeah, so they got it's a good – like, you got a good situation right now, so you better capitalize while you can.
Yeah,
you talk about Mike Brown too, you know. Yeah, like you said, Mike Brown ain't gonna pay, you know, he's gonna pay Joe Burrow, but come on, man, you don't know who else he's gonna pay at this juncture too. So everyone's on
he's gonna pay Burrow and Chase.
Yeah.
The problem is he's gonna re-sign Henderson when they both are up again. He's gonna re-sign Higgins and pay him the money he wants to get paid. You know, like
it's gonna be tough.
I agree. You gotta get it while you can. And you got this competition in the AFC. The AFC is no joke, bro. The AFC is gonna be a whole problem for like the next 10 years.
Yeah. We spent so much time on this topic. Rob, can you talk about really quickly the mock draft? Man, we literally got like almost like 13 minutes left in the show. Another couple of moves here, if you will, and we'll talk about that as well. So go ahead, Rob, with that. Maybe we'll get to the band shout-outs too really quickly.
Before we get into mock draft, I just want I'll touch on the Brian Flores situation here really quick. And I know, Andre, you brought that up a little while ago. One of the disheartening things to me is the NFL's response to the lawsuit. I'm going to read the NFL statement. We will defend against these claims, which are without merit. And to me, I didn't like the NFL's response to that. They didn't say they're going to open up an investigation, which would have been, to me, that would have been the right thing to say, hey, we need to investigate this situation. And but for them to respond, we will defend against these claims, which are without merit, to me was the wrong response from the NFL. And it just states to where they are as a league right now. To me, these are some serious allegations. And
I agree.
That's when you got to go right into investigation mode, not say we're going to defend against these claims, which are without merit. So that was, you know, very concerning to hear that from the NFL perspective. To me, it should have been a perfect opportunity to get with Brian Flores and say, hey, let's investigate these claims. Let's do a deep dive into these situations here, you know, with the Dolphins, with the Broncos, with the Giants. Let's see if we can partner up on this, and let's see if we can open up an investigation. And for them to respond like that was just a slap. Not only to slap the face to Brian Flores' face, but to all African-American coaches, all minority coaches, and and minorities of society as a whole. I mean, you're not going to even investigate it? You're just saying you're going to defend against it? I didn't like that at all. And,
Rob,
you know,
that
I don't know
statement,
what you...
that statement to me said we've already made our decision.
Yep.
You know, we're going to go through the motions of something, but this is what we, you know, and so if you go, you know, if you go and you see, you know, you go to some law firm and you say, you know, I want to take a class action lawsuit against something like as big as the NFL, the very first thing that law firm is going to say is, let's see what you got. What kind of evidence do you have? We got to make sure that we have a case. We've got to make sure we have enough. we're going up against the biggest bully on the block. We have got
right.
to have evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
have enough
yeah.
for a law firm to be able to go up against the big bully on the block. And I'm just hoping and praying that they win and we can get over this crap. Because like we talked about, you know, coaches around the league and what I thought was a stupid move for Miami to get rid of this guy, you know.
Right.
Now we hear that they wanted him to throw games and all this bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, I hope he wins.
Yeah.
I hope they win, and I hope
yeah.
they win. I hope he wins big.
Yeah.
There's a lot
yeah.
of good
you know
coaches out there that need an opportunity, that deserve an opportunity.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Mike Tomlin is the only African-American head coach in the league right now. That is insane.
Yep.
Right.
That is insane. I mean, Brian Flores had the 2 straight winning seasons for the Dolphins. He got fired. When the last time the Dolphins won 2 straight, had 2 straight winning seasons? Dan Marino is probably the quarterback. You know, you got to go back to the 80s. I mean.
Well, this is.
I mean.
This is what I'm saying.
David Culley
got
fired after 1 season with the Texans.
David Culley.
Yeah, I don't think it's
going to
matter.
Guy from Arizona. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
This is why I say it doesn't matter.
I'm going to say something really ugly because this is, you know, I'm a person in my life. But I want to start with Kaepernick. The NFL screwed that up so bad that I made a direct connection between what Kaepernick was doing and what happened at George Floyd in Minneapolis. That's what he was talking about. But they made that be, I guess, the flag of America. And that, you know, racism, I hate that so much. And Kaepernick was so right when he was talking about what he was talking about. And look what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis. The exact same thing that man was protesting and telling people that this is our issue, and the NFL totally missed that. Totally missed that. So this thing with Brian brings me back to that hurt. When they totally blew Kaepernick out of the water. But Kaepernick got some money and he proved. But George Floyd is the direct result of what Kaepernick was talking about. Is the effect, the that thing that he was kneeling about.
Yep.
And this whole country missed it. And missed it bad. And cost a man screaming, "Mama, mama, help me. God help me." And got rich in a big city a lot. This country needs to wake up. It really does. And there was no reason for that man in Florida to get fired, especially the way he ended the season. And with people thinking that boy is not in the He's not in the league of the elite quarterbacks. I don't even know if he's better than the Cleveland quarterbacks.
Oh, wow.
And people thought he might be, he was the best. He was like the first quarterback pick. And he took that guy and made him win games later in the season. That team got better in the season.
Yep.
And that's what you want all football teams to do, is get better as they start and be better at the end. It's ugly. It's our society. And we got to talk about it. I think the only way we're going to fix it is pointing it out and talk about it. And if you want to disagree with me, like I said with George Floyd and Kaepernick, I can't hear the argument there. That's a direct. That's a direct happening that that Kaepernick was absolutely right. And if you can't see that, that's harsh for me. And that's going to be hard for me to die with.
Well, with Brian Flores, you know what he wants to do? He wants to coach football. He wants to be a head coach in the NFL. That's all he wants. That's all he wanted to do.
With a fair shot.
And this is what pisses me off. He's going to win this. Mm. But what's going to happen is they're going to pay him just like they paid Kaepernick, and you'll never get a coaching job in the NFL.
Yeah,
I hope I'm.
I hope I'm wrong
because he deserves to be a head coach. I told you, I'd like to have him on the Cowboys. I'd love to have him coach the Cowboys right now. Fire as Curtis said, McCartney. fire him. You know, bring. I'd love to have Flores in there with the boys. He's a good coach. He deserves to be able to coach. Not just a big payday, but he wants to. But he has to be an activist and do this sort of thing, just like Kaepernick. You know, they made statements, and he's going to win, but then it's going to cost him, and that's the real sad thing. So I hope that if that happens, that there's some sort of real dialogue, real language that, you know, hey, give these guys an actual honest shot. Don't look at us with someone's color of their skin, but actually look at what they can bring to the table to your team. Let's not make this the good old boy network. Hope that's over.
Yeah. Well said, Gary. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition as we preview the Super Bowl here in about a week and a half away. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back at you live on next Tuesday night. So in Atlanta and South Beach, that's going to be 11 p.m. Andre, wake up. And then in the Central Time Zone, New Orleans, Chicago, that's going to be 10 p.m. for you. Mountain Town Zone, Albuquerque, Denver, 9 p.m., Fresno, San Fran, West Coast. So it's going to be 8 p.m. for you. Make sure you tune in on next Tuesday night, people. We're going to get ready to go into our OT portion. We have a brief OT portion. We'll finish talking about the Brian Flores versus NFL. And, of course, we'll get into a little bit of the mock draft that's posted on our Facebook page. Good night, people.
Hey, man, I'm still just riding away, man. Let's get into the OT.
to me, the live portion of the show was really good because it wasn't about Tom Brady. It was about these two teams in the Super Bowl. Both teams are equally matched. They're going to go at it. I think it's going to be an epic battle, and I'm looking forward to it.
Tampa Bay still think Brady coming back next year. Like, y'all still delusional.
Well, JQ had to get a side in real quick. JQ, we were going to say something too.
Well, the thing about it is that I agree with him. The fact is that he's done coaching, and they're just going to pay him to go away. And he's going to win. I agree with that. He's going to win. That those text messages from Bill Belichick are damning. And if he finds a way to prove what Ross said to him or offer him in Miami and then try and get the inappropriate contact with Brady, like he's gonna win. The fact that you have me on a sham interview and you've already made the decision, the fact that you made the decision and you told somebody else about it, you were so brazen enough to go tell Bill Belichick about it, and he messed up and told the party that was concerned in and Brian Flores, it's so bad. But I just feel like until you change the people making the ultimate decisions, they're just going to write a check, and it's going to be over. You know what I mean? Like, they got billion-dollar, deals with CBS and Fox and ABC and ESPN, and unless you make the check so ridiculous where they have to be like, whoa, I can't afford my team if I write this check. But they're not going to do that. They're going to write him a check, and like you said, he's going to be well off, and he can go coach UTEP if he wants to, because he don't need to have a – he don't have to win them all.
Yeah.
He's going to get such a big check in the NFL that he can go coach and do whatever he wants to, high school, IAAA, some full-up team. Like, that's not who he is. I'm saying he could do that. They're going to have to break him off the check. I think that did. But I don't think he ever coached in the NFL again. That's big on him to make that decision and expose it. But it sucks. When they came out with it, they said, well, he just doesn't align with, we need a synergy between the front office and the head coach. And they put the stories out there about him not liking, Tua. And you were like, well, damn, is Brian Flores just a jackass? And it's like, well, if he said that to Tua, then that's a little wrong. Like, even if Tua sucks, that was a little wrong. But then you get the other side of this, of I'm going to pay you $100,000 a tank, and then I'm just going to bring you in for an interview. And then, I'm going to violate the rules, but wink, wink, hang in there with me, like,
yeah,
so bad for the NFL. And like you said, between this and Tom Brady not holding his water, dude, just wait till the 21st. Let these two teams have their 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. Let the winner, whoever it is, the Bengals or the Rams, have their 4 or 5 days after to talk about Disney World and have their press tour after winning the Super Bowl. And then announce your retirement. If it happens in February, it doesn't matter to anybody else. What can you do if you're Tampa Bay right now? There's nothing you can do. The new year hasn't started. It hasn't been a draft. You can't go get free agency. Like, you can't do anything legally if you're Tampa Bay right now. Why can't you wait? So now the Bengals and the Rams have been pushed to the back with, I'm not blaming Brian Flores. He's had that nonsense pushed upon him. But now you've got him against the NFL and Tom Brady. And in a couple of days, you might fucking forget the Rams and the Bengals are playing in the Super Bowl. Like,
you won.
That's not what it should be.
Yeah, I don't think you will. I mean, obviously, we'll get to this. I mean, the Tom Brady thing, I think, is more damning because just who he is, Brian Flores is kind of great because, what's happening, Black History Month, everything like that, So I think it is interesting, too. Let's get to that, too.
No.
But yeah. Go ahead. Tom Brady's an asshole. For Tom Brady. Well, yeah, you're like, that dude could have waited. Right now, because damn it, really? Now we gotta hear your shit for. No, you can't. You're that much of an egomaniac. We gotta talk about this right now. It's like, come on, bro. Hold that shit till like you said, after Super Bowl or everything like that. That's the best time. So we don't want to take anything from your thunder. It's an exciting time for you as a Bengal fan and the Rams. That should be kind of front.
I was gonna say, and the Rams fans too. The Rams fans should deserve their spot in the sunshine too. And we're 2 days past the both those teams clinching in the AFC and NFC, and we're not even talking about them today. 2 days, and we're not talking about them at all. That's crazy.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get that going too. I know. Yeah.
Getting back to the NFL and these interviews with the coaches, let's be real. Some of these, we know some of these are just token interviews, right, just to please the rules. I mean, shucks, I'm even throw my Saints under the bus. I mean, the Saints interviewed Aaron Glenn. And they know they're not giving Aaron Glenn that job. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's a token interview just to please the Rooney Rule. They're not giving Aaron Glenn that job. I mean, come on. I mean, I know they interviewed Brian Flores yesterday, too. But, you know, some of the, we know some of these are token interviews. They got to do something,
to really make them
Exactly. And I know Mike Tomlin, when he got the Steelers job, he wasn't the top candidate. He went in there and shined. He made them say yes to him. You know, and I know there's an opportunity for anybody to do that. But, I mean, some of these, we know these are just token interviews, right? And, you know, but I'll get off my soapbox and, we'll go over the draft here really quick. The latest mock draft.
Really quickly, Rob. I'm going to add this to, some ice on the cake, too, so I can get much, and it's tough. I think you guys have nailed it, too, and just to kind of, like, wrap it up. And I think, like you said, JQ, he pretty much knows he's not coaching in the NFL. And I think sometimes you've had enough. And I think he's had enough because he was talking about in the interview with the Broncos where they showed up like an hour late, like, John Elway and the president at the time, they were all disheveled. And you're like, man, and there's only so much you can take. Like, you're sitting here trying to – yeah, they were drunk as well. And you're like, what? I'm here trying to get a job. You guys are just, taking it so casually. And like you said, yeah, he's going to go to college. He's going to be successful from that. But you're trying to pave the way for the next set of coaches. Like, this has got to change. Don't just sit there and say, we've been saying this for like almost like, past like 7 years, like we're going to try to make things better. And, the token rules, stuff like that. And it really, and like you said, there's only one coach, Rob, you said there's only one coach that's black in the NFL. There should be more. You got, Eric Bieniemy didn't get an opportunity. David Coley was like a token. You fired, Brian Flores, obviously. And no one else is, like, Joe Judge has never been the coach of the Giants. I'm just saying, like, who the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? And at least give another opportunity to somebody else. There's enough talented, Leslie Frazier, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles. These guys should be getting opportunities to coach. You made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Give him another opportunity, David Coley was like a
– Raheem Morris.
Even the guy that coached – yeah, I mean, it's a travesty, and you got to shake it up. And I don't know if it will because, like you said, they're billionaires and – we don't have any black owners, and, I'd love for us to kind of, like, pull together and buy one damn team, if you will, and just be all black, have an all-black staff, and just kind of give it to the NFL.
No, you can't do that. That's
going to happen.
You can't do that because if they don't go 13 and goddamn four, the pressure going to be on them something crazy. You can't do that out the gate. Like, I hear what you're saying, but if they don't go 13 and four or 14 and three, they're going to get crucified. I'm telling you the truth. Like, you can't take it that far.
We got to get the best in. So that's, but see, we need
all
to
have to think diversity.
Kind of like,
Regardless of our race, we all have to think diversity, And, even from my position when I'm hiring, you always got to think diversity. And, so regardless, of your position. But, we just want the NFL
right.
is not a league that's you got one coach. You got a Muslim coach with the Jets, Robert Saleh. So I forgot about him. But two coaches.
And Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera. Okay, so you got three
Ron
minorities.
But
three out of 32 positions.
I know, look at that
ratio.
About that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three out of 32 positions. That's insane.
Who was the coach that got fired for the Arizona before which ball got in there? Who was the coach that got fired after 1 year again?
What was that guy named? 1 year.
Defensive
coordinator for Carolina before he went to Arizona.
Yeah. 1 year.
Was Steve Johnson or something like
Steve
that?
Steve Wilkes,
for 1 year.
Steve Wilkes. I think it was him. Steve Wilkes.
One damn year. Like, you're out. And they were scared that Brian Flores was going to do well, so they couldn't fire him. If he's doing well, they got to fire him now too. I mean, I digress. I'm with you, Rob. I'm off my soapbox, but it's just you're pretty much like saying, F the NFL, man, at this juncture, because and like Gary said, you got evidence, man. So he's going to win, man. Because you wouldn't bring it to it if you didn't have some solid evidence. So there's no way you're going to attack that. And your boy Hitler, same way. Hitler's like, damn, I got to protect you guys. I'm all here. We all still together at the end of the day. Come on, man. Bullshit.
Man, I got Andre calling him Hitler. Nah, man, that's what I'm talking about.
Go ahead, Rob.
All right. All right. Listen to the mock draft, our listeners. Obviously, you can check it out on our Facebook page, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I won't go over the entire draft. I'll just go over our teams, and if y'all have any questions about any players, anything, I'll start with Andre's Falcons. They got to take a wild receiver.
Whoa. Do the top
10
and then do our
team.
I think the top 10 is still
working
on the whole top
10. All right. That's cool. All right. Jacksonville, number one. I got him taking Aiden Hutchinson. I know Andre is halfway asleep.
No, I'm not. I'm hyped, man. Go ahead.
I got Jacksonville taking Aiden Hutchinson, edge rusher from Michigan. Detroit going another offensive lineman. Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama. Houston, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. We got the Jets, Robert Saleh getting some help in that secondary. Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame. Yeah, I've talked about it on every show for about the last 10 weeks about the Giants need offensive linemen, so I won't go into that. But I got them taking Ikem Ekwonu, offensive tackle from North Carolina State, can also play guard. Charles Cross, offensive lineman from Mississippi State, also the very versatile, can play guard and tackle. Obviously, if you're taking the guy that high, you want him to play tackle. The Giants, I got him going Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah, at the number 7 spot. I got the Falcons taking Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas. He's got great size and speed. We don't know what's happening with Calvin Ridley.
Say what? You got
taking
the wide receiver from Arkansas, the first wide receiver off the board?
Yeah.
First wide receiver off the board.
Go ahead.
First wide
receiver. Okay.
David Ojabo, edge rusher from Michigan, going number 9 to Denver. And then to the Jets. The Jets got Kyle Hamilton at number 4. And then they come right back around and get Tyler Linderbaum, another offensive lineman. Both those New York City teams need some help on that offensive line. And I'll scroll down some of our teams. We've got the Saints taking Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh, at number 18. I got Dallas taking Jordan Davis, defensive tackle from Georgia, at 24. I got the Bengals taking Cameron Thomas, defensive tackle from San Diego State, at number 31. Then when you look at the second round here, I got Atlanta coming back in the second round here, at number 43, taking Martin Emerson, cornerback from Mississippi State. And my Saints, still got the Saints taking the same guy. I had him in my last mock, Daniel Falele, offensive tackle from Minnesota, the 6'8", 380 pounds. Also, I got Atlanta taking Kingsley Igbinoghu, defensive end from South Carolina, who I think is a real sleeper in this draft, who could really move up. I think he could be a tremendous pass rusher. in this draft. And I got Dallas taking another offensive lineman here in the second round, Abraham Lucas, offensive tackle from the Pacific Northwest up in Washington State. So got the Cowboys going defensive line, then turning right back around and going offensive line. And I got the Bengals in the second round taking Chazen Hines, big offensive guard from LSU at number 63, and add to the Bayou Bengals there in Cincinnati.
You know, so he has drafted 31. You know, so he keeps picking us to lose, and keeps having us drafting in the loser slot. Like, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row now, right? I ain't going to say nothing. But last week, yeah, drafting 29.
That's that reverse psychology, right? You pick, I'm down 31, and you're on the quarterback. I'm pulling for the Bengals.
I picked up on y'all, and I was drafting 31st. So you guys were losing, okay?
Robinson has
reverse psychology, baby.
Robinson has taking a quarterback. I love it.
So what?
I said Robinson has.
Yeah, I don't have Carolina taking a quarterback.
Interesting. Yeah, you don't think that you're going to go that direction? They're going to stick with your boy, either or for a couple more.
You know, we'll see.
Sam Darnold.
We'll see. Watch PJ Walker with Carolina. I'm not saying he's the answer. But he might be a better quarterback than Sam Darnold or Cam Newton, what they have in the building right now. And I think he's the guy that you got to really give a strong look at. Not saying he's the answer. I mean, Houston, right? You know, with the quarterback, their situation, right? I don't have them taking a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, David Mills.
But Mills, you know, is he the answer? You know, Houston thinks highly of him, but is he really the answer there in Houston, too? So You know, you really think about it. I mean, you look at Houston, you look at Carolina, now Tampa Bay is in a quarterback situation right now. The Saints quarterback situation is still iffy. You got a lot of teams out here with some. Hey, is Cleveland sold on Baker Mayfield, right? And, you know, I've had some mocks where I've had them taking the quarterback. Is Denver sold on their quarterback situation right now? And even the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, when you look at Jalen Hurts' completion percentage beyond 30 yards, it is horrible. One of the worst in the league. I mean, I know they had a successful season, but I got Philadelphia taking Matt Corral, number 15 here. And Philadelphia got three first-round picks here. You know, you take a gamble on a quarterback, right? I got him taking Matt Corral, then I got him coming right back and getting the corner and Andrew Booth from Clemson. And then I got him taking DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. They got three first-round picks.
Where you got that kid from Liberty going?
I got Malik Willis.
Willis.
I have him going to my lady. I got him going to Las Vegas.
22nd.
At 22.
Yeah, 22nd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
okay.
Interesting. That's good stuff,
that's
man.
Derek Carter answered. So a lot of teams with some interesting quarterbacks.
A lame duck, Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's
even
he going
to
go? Where's he
going
to go?
Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I mean, are they sold on him? Detroit's got two first-round picks. I mean, as of now, I don't have him taking a quarterback in the first round. But, you know, are they sold on Jared Goff as well?
Hell no. They'll suck another year and pick up the top five next year and take a quarterback.
I got Detroit taking Sam Howell in the second round, though.
You might as well take that pick outside and set it on fire. Why would you do that?
Oh man!
JQ's on fire, literally. This is Sam.
You know how I feel. Sam House sucks. You might as well take another offensive lineman, suck a game for another year, and get top five, and get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud next year, and call it a day.
Don't be surprised if he sneaks his way back into the first round, though. I hear the scouts; they really like his arm talent.
I hope somebody takes. That's a wasted pick. That means another pick that we might get. Please take Spencer Rattler, sorry ass. So you just take him off the board. That's a waste. Hey, man, that's two wasted picks.
Spencer Rattler going to South Carolina. He ain't even into the draft.
Yeah, he's on the draft.
Oh yeah. So okay, my bad. I was gonna say he sucks. But Howell's a waste. You guys just go ahead and just just skip a pick. Just go to the commercials.
Those
two dudes are trash, bro.
But he was supposed to be like.
I mean, I got the first quarterback in this draft going 15 overall. I mean, when the last time?
And I bet you one of those trading places dollars. I told you every year quarterbacks rise artificially. Kenny Pickett probably goes top 10 for no good reason except for he's a quarterback.
No, I agree. I think somebody's going to go to the top five. You know, quarterbacks always rise. But right now, it's hard to tell which one is going to be that guy.
Who's still going to get a quarterback?
Somebody's going to rise all the way. Somebody's going to rise to the top five. You better believe it.
Yeah.
Because Kenny Pickett came out with the small hands. I think it might be Mac. If Matt Corral shows he's over that ankle injury, I think Corral's not picked to move into the top 10.
Malik Willis, Washington, too. I think you look at the kid the 49ers took last year, Trey Lance, and got them number three. Malik Willis reminds me a lot of Trey Lance. He's got that kind of athletic ability. I mean, the guy can make all the throws. But his accuracy is the thing that's in question. I think his accuracy was somewhere around 55 to 58%. You know, obviously you want to get in that 65 range to be an NFL quarterback. But, man, he can make all the throws. I mean, he's got a rocket throwing arm. He's got the athletic ability.
Yeah.
He's going to strike fear into a lot of NFL defenses. He's another guy to really watch if he goes into these pro days and these team workouts and really shine. He's a guy to also watch.
No, the only reason why I go with Corral is because he's going to have that Lane Kiffin pedigree behind him. If he shows he's over that ankle injury, they're going to say he's playing the SEC. If he can come out and throw, 60 or 62 at the pro day at Ole Miss and show that he's fully healthy, that's the reason why I say that, because he's going to have that Lane Kiffin back in those numbers to go behind it, where Malik has got that Liberty schedule, and he's going to be like, well, Matt Corral played pretty good in the SEC Western, you know, with the LSUs and the Alabamas and the Auburns. That's why I picked him to be the one that rises. Kenny Pickett came out with the small hands at the Senior Bowl, and you know how the evaluators are about hands with the quarterbacks and stature. So that's why I think Kenny Pickett might end up being a steal going to where he's going, where he should probably go ultimately anyway, right? Like 15 to 20, where he should stay there. I think he's going to be a steal at that point. But I think, like you said, I think Malik and Matt Corral would be my one and two in terms of the ones that will rise once you start getting to the Underwear Bowl and all those things.
Yeah.
Malik?
I have Matt Corral going 15 to Philly at the moment. I got Kenny Pickett going 18 in New Orleans and Malik Willis going 22 to Las Vegas. So I have Corral going as the first quarterback taken at the moment. So, you know, we shall see. We got Sam Howell and Carson Strong from Nevada and also Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati. I got those three guys getting picked in the second round.
That is
this quarterback class.
Yeah.
I got Desmond Ridder going in the second round of Cleveland.
Man. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, that would make me so mad because I would hope they'd beat the shit out of him twice a year. But, yeah.
All right, wrap this thing up, man. Yeah, let's wrap this up, man. It's been a fun show. I don't even just send a shout out to wrap it up. Rob got some serious issues, man. Did you want to just send a shout out to Rob or no?
Oh yeah, we got some fans.
Hey, four of us won 8-1.
Come on, Roberto, give it to us.
All right. Yours truly, my team.
I had a 7-2.
Trust the process at an 8-1 victory over the champions here. Also, JQ's team, Ohio Players, also had an 8-1 victory over the Blue Devil All-Stars. And Rhino in New Orleans, his team still in first place. Saints Pelicans 23 with an 89-44-2 record. So those are your fantasy shout-outs to fantasy basketball.
Damn, I was 7-2. I was close.
Yeah. I tell you what, you know, they got, I don't know if y'all look at the fantasy basketball standings, man. They got one division where it's just a pool division. And
you
got a guy. Yahoo leads the divisions this year. And it's just, as you say that way, every team in the division I'm in has a winning record. And the problem is the guy in third place will miss the playoffs. Because he's. They got him in seventh place overall. But that team in that division will go. And, it's kind of messed up with it's shaking out right now.
one of the three of us has got to move division. Because I looked at it and said, these mofos is 30 games under 500. Somebody got to win that division. That is terrible.
Yeah. Totally agree.
I'm in that division with you, JQ, which is tough. Like, damn it, you know. So, but, yeah, it's all good. It would have been cool if we put it off. And each division, I've been a little bit easier too. So, but it's all good. I don't know how Yahoo does that, by the way.
Yeah, the good thing is a lot of these COVID cases are coming down. It was killing all of us around Christmas and New Year's.
I got another thing besides this. If I'm the NBA owners, I am locking these mofos out on the next collective bargaining agreement. These dudes are wilding. They asked for trades with 4 years left on the contract. I've had Kyle Lowry has not played since January 17th on personal issues. He ain't had COVID. He ain't injured. This dude ain't played since Martin Luther King Day. He just sits out. I'm like, if they don't, the owners is getting ready to say, hey, bro, you got to play. Like, I understand something happens, but you can't miss 15 days, bro, on personal reasons. What the fuck? I will lock him out. That's coming. I need to look it up. But whenever the collective bargaining agreement is up for the NBA, they should lock these dudes out.
Won't get the shot. Like, come on, man.
They play when they feel like playing. I'm paying you money for you to play when you feel like playing. That's happening. I don't want to see it. But playing fantasy basketball makes you pay attention to all these dudes. And dudes is just not playing because they just don't feel like playing. Period. They ain't gonna be hurt. It's like, oh, no, for personal reasons. What the hell is that? Personal reasons?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Ryan. Go close.
Wrap this up.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, we had a fun night talking sports with you all. Once again, we're going to be back at you next Tuesday. We'll give you another preview of the Super Bowl here. Cincinnati Bengals in L.A. stand up. You know, we're going to be talking about it again on next Tuesday night. So for those of you all on the East Coast, once again, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time. Once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, Central Time Zone, 10 p.m. For those of you all in the Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Albuquerque, JQ's favorite city, you ready for that balloon festival? We're probably coming back this year.
Oh, my God.
9 p.m. And for those of you all in Hollywood, Los Angeles, the state of California, definitely tune in. It's going to be 8 p.m. Better watch out for those Rams fans in Fresno, JQ. They're going to be coming down there. No, no, I'm kidding. Most of Fresno are 49er fans, by the way, so I'm sure they won't be coming down there. But for California, it's going to be 8 p.m. for you all on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Good night. I love y'all. I'll see y'all next Tuesday. Getting closer. Trying to do everything
Get
I do to keep myself in check.
All right. Curtis, hang in there, bro. I'm praying for you, bro.
Curtis, bro. Appreciate you guys. Be good. Get some rest.
Day by day.
All right.
And this is one of my highlights of my week. And I thank you guys for that. I'm sorry I got a little emotional. You know, but that's, I had to deal with some of that today with what's happening and stuff. Yes, we really have to work in this country on race relations because we are American. And as Americans, take care of ourselves because no other country wants to take care of us. They want to destroy us because for whatever reason they have. But we got to take care of each other and let's do that.
You're absolutely right.
Quick before you
absolutely
go,
correct.
Curtis had a rough day today, but on Sunday I came over, got him, or maybe, no, anyway, a couple days ago, came over, got him, took him for a little ride. We went out and saw my mom and Arnetta across town, got him out in his van and got him kind of out and about a little bit. When I got him home, he said, "Great day." And I said, "Curtis, what would you rate your day today?" And he said, "I would rate it a 10. And I went home, and I felt so grateful that he had such a good day. So
that's awesome.
You got to keep the battle up, Curtis. You're doing great.
Yeah.
And you guys,
he really
appreciates the patience on this show and allowing him to speak and get his thoughts together and stuff. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Zach.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I know.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
I know, Gary, we give you a hard time on the show sometimes, but kudos to you, man. You are a true definition of a brother. And being there for Curtis, I think that's amazing.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys.
I appreciate you guys.
We definitely went over and above, but, you know, again, it made it fun, and we were letting JQ get his feelings in about the Bengals and a lot of things, too. But, you know, there's nothing better I'd rather do than chop it up with you guys as much as we can, too. So. One day we'll be together, have some fun, and you know that's the goal, you know, and even doing this in person, man. So you guys have a great rest of your day, and like you said, we'll keep it up, man. Keep the chat going live, man. Till next week, as always. Okay. Peace, gentlemen.
All right. They keep the Super Bowl a week and a half away, man. Don't be getting liquored up every day until then.
Every day.
Every day.
Shot. Take him shots.
Her day. Her day.
I got some.
All right,
deuces. Get some rest. Deuces.
Have a good one.
game.